And greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, restoring original Christianity for today. And Church at Home is designed so that you, in the privacy of your own home, can get out your Bible, can open it up, and you can study the Word of God. And we've designed it in such a way that we are following the 14 rules of Bible study, and we're beginning with the easy-to-understand scriptures. Because what causes more confusion than anything else is people coming to the scriptures with their own ideas and thinking, well, I'm going to find in the Bible what I think, and I know what I think is true, so therefore I'll find it in the Bible. Well, don't be too surprised if you won't find it there, because there's a way which seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And a lot of people have been taught so many religious lies that they've accepted for truths for so many generations that when someone comes along like we're doing here and preaching the Word of God, you think, oh, where does he get off with this? Well, that's what happened to Jesus. That's what happened to those that he was speaking to, as we saw in the last segment. So let's come back here to John the 8th chapter, and let's see something. We're coming back here to John the 8th chapter. And as we saw, Satan is deceiving the whole world, and the Apostle John wrote there at the last part of 1 John the 5th chapter that the whole world lies in the power of the wicked one. Have you ever heard the song? He's got the whole world in his hands, got the whole world in his hands. That's not talking of Jesus. That's talking of Satan, the devil. And remember, Jesus said, let's come back here to John 8 and let's read this again. Let's understand something. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? In other words, our minds, without the truth of God and without the Spirit of God, thinking that we are right in everything that we do not understand how many times we deceive ourselves. When was the last time you lied to yourself, lied to your children, lied to your husband, to your wife, to your friend, to your fellow workers, to your boss? Do you have a deceitful nature? Of course. Everyone has. And so you see, as we saw, that's a perfect locking of magnets, as it were, to Satan the devil. Because he's right there to say, oh yes, have it your way. Oh yes, that's fine. Oh yes, you know, don't worry about sin. I'll take care of you. See, because Satan comes along and says, there's a benefit to sin. I'm here to give you a benefit. God says over here not to do this, but hey, a little adultery won't hurt. A little homosexuality won't hurt. Rampant divorce. Oh, well, everyone's doing his own thing, and they're destroying the whole society. And when you hear the words of God, you wonder, who is this? Well, that's what they said of Jesus. Now, it's awfully hard to admit. The hardest thing in the world to admit is that I believed lies. And know that every lie is going to be exposed. Let's look at the Bernie Madoff situation. Did he tell everyone what a wonderful thing he was doing, and you'll get a steady 10% on your money? I know how to invest. Your money is safe with us. And he could con them so well that they believed. And so much so that he was able to absconce with $56 billion. And all the interviews of those who trusted him, they said, I trusted him. He was so convincing. But he never showed them an audited bookkeeping, balance sheet, income sheet, anything like that. And he had the world's greatest Ponzi scheme. Well, on a small scale, really, the Federal Reserve and the central banks in the world have the greatest Ponzi scheme that's ongoing. But nevertheless, to illustrate a point, those people believed a lie because they didn't understand that their own senses should have told them, and their own senses were not educated by the Word of God to detect lies. They got ripped off. Now, let's translate that into religious terms. Do you trust your rabbi? Do you trust your priest, your bishop, your cardinal, your pope, your evangelist, your minister, your elder? Do you trust them? If you run to them and say, "Oh, I heard from this fanatic on Church at Home that we ought to keep the Sabbath," they say, No. The church had the authority to change Sunday. That's a lie. We'll discuss that even more further as we get into these things. Because you see, what we're actually doing is taking like the religious world today, the religious Christian world, and we're peeling back layer by layer like an onion all the lies and deception. And just like when you peel back an onion, layer by layer, you're going to shed some tears. Yes, because you have been deceived. Now let's come back here to John 8, beginning here in verse 43. Very important to understand. "Why don't you understand my speech?" And Jesus was speaking the words of God. "Because you cannot hear my words." Now, why can't people hear the words of God? Because they have something else that they have been taught, which has been lodged in their minds, branded in their brains, and stuck in a false belief so rigid and so adamant that they refuse to change. And they are so absolutely deceived in thinking that they're right. And just like they did with Jesus, "Oh, he's got a demon. Oh, he does this by the prince of Beelzebub." So anyone who speaks the truth to you, "Oh, he's got to be a nut. Or a raving lunatic." See, because people have believed lies for so long. So can you bear to hear the words of Jesus? Do you get mad at the words of Jesus? Verse 45, he told those Jews who supposedly believed in him, and there are a lot of people today who supposedly believe in him, but they really are not Christian, though they think and are convinced they really, really are. And we've already covered where Jesus said, "If you love me," they say, "Oh, I love God. Oh, I love the Father." Jesus said, "If you love me, keep the commandments." Do you love God? How can you say you love God when you reject the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, Saturday today, which is the only day of worship found in the Bible? "Oh, well, Sunday's the day we worship on." You're deceived. "Well, my pope, my bishop, my cardinal, my minister." They're not telling you the truth. We'll see that in a little bit. And how about those who go to synagogue? "Don't dare believe in Jesus." Well, I can understand why they would say that if you look at the Catholic Church. That is rank paganism. And if you don't believe that, ask any practicing Jew and he'll tell you, yes, that's true. However, if you reject Jesus and his words, you still do not have the Father. Look at these Jews here who said they believed in Jesus. Notice what Jesus said to them at the temple. right there at God's temple, the center of Jewish teaching at that time. It's like walking into the Vatican today and saying, destroy all these idols. Tear down all of these artworks. Get rid of that obelisk out there in the middle of the square. Oh, he's a raving lunatic. Well, one day, God is going to do it. Because Christ is going to return. Now, John 8, verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you desire to practice. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he's speaking from his own self, for he is a liar and the father of it. Any lie you believe comes from the devil. God the Father cannot lie and will not lie. And those who teach the word of God in truth will not lie and tell you the truth so that you can come to understand what is right, so that you can have an opportunity for true salvation. Now notice what Jesus said, verse 45. Now, think of this as you've heard me speak all these many things. And because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Now of Jesus, this can be said of no man, but of Jesus he said, which of you can convict me of sin, that is transgressing the law? Pray tell. If you say that Jesus did away with the law, is that not sin? Yes. So if you say Jesus did away with the law, you're saying Jesus is a sinner. And yet out of the other side of your mouth, you say he sinned not. Who do you really believe? Who is your spiritual father? Look at it. Now notice verse 47, this becomes important. Now if you're out there saying, yeah, boy, I'm glad someone's saying this. Yeah, I really want to hear more. I want to know the truth of God. Now notice verse 47. The one who is of God hears the words of God. Do you hear the words of God? I'm reading to you the words of God. I'm teaching you the truth from the Bible. Do you hear these words? Or do you reject them? Notice what Jesus said. For this reason, you cannot hear. That is, hear to obey to do. Because you are not of God. So here they were at the temple, believing that they served God. Believing that they were there because of God. And remember this, Satan the devil likes to get right smack in the middle of power. And he was there. And their profession in Christ was worthless because Satan the devil was their God and their father. Now let's expand this out a little bit further. Let's see how religionists do this. Let's see a prophecy of this back in the book of Isaiah. Let's come back to Isaiah, the 5th chapter. And then we will see what happens to a whole nation, a whole civilization that gets to the point that it believes so many lies and has so many sins on a vast scale that cannot even be policed by 100% police control. What happens to a nation? Now, as we're turning back here to Isaiah, the 5th chapter, I want you to ask yourself the question, how was the United States the most unique nation in the world? What was it founded upon? God and the Word of God. Now, not completely, but more than any other nation in the history of the whole world. And look at the blessings that came because of that. but they had the Achilles heel. And the Achilles heel was, religiously speaking, Sunday worship. Now let's come back here to Isaiah 5. But let's see what has happened in the last 120 years. Isaiah 5. This is quite something. This is a spiritual diagnosis of our nation today and what has gone wrong. And as we have seen, God holds the religious leaders and priests totally accountable for leading people into sin by sanctifying sin as something good. Now let's pick it up here in verse 18. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin with cart ropes. Look at what's happening Friday night, Saturday night, the day, the time when they should be worshiping God. All the sports, all of the activities, all the dating, all the nightclubbing, all the drinking, all of the fornicating, homosexuality, all of the drugs that they are taking. Led around by the nose by Satan the devil. Oh, they say of God, yes. Where is God? Oh, we're free to do all these things. Notice verse 19. Who say? Let him hurry and hasten his work. Let God come and show us. He is, with the penalties you are incurring upon yourself. So that we may see it. Let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come so that we may know. You're hearing it right now. You're going to challenge God that way? He's coming for you. Notice what they do. Here is how it happened. Think of this. You think the world is upside down? You think that things that are supposed to be good are not? You think that things that are wrong should be corrected with good? Well, it's because the religionists, the educators, the government, and the majority of people have been wiping this country clean of all knowledge of God and replacing it with evil and with sin and with wretchedness. If you don't believe that, like one minister told me, if you want a real eyeful and if you want to let your teenage children really learn a lesson, take them down to the emergency of any hospital in your city on a Friday night to the emergency room and let them see what comes through the door. Beatings, killings, knifings, drug overdose, rapes. And we call ourselves a Christian nation and we lean on God and say, is not God with us? Here's what happened. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Is that not what we have done? Is that not the result of saying that the commandments of God have been done away by Jesus Christ and annulled by the writings of the Apostle Paul? Now, let me tell you something. If there's anything that is a sure foot, how shall we say, case for insanity, that is it. And we have substituted evil, atheism, secularism, licentiousness, for good behavior, truth of God, and put darkness for light. Darkness comes from Satan the devil. The whole world lies in darkness. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. The elite of the world, we know better than God. We don't need God. But one of these days, Jesus Christ is coming and he's going to shake the heaven, shake the earth, and he's going to look them right in the eye and say, you don't need me? I give you every breath that you have. I give you sunshine. I give you food. I give you water. I've created the world for you, and you reject me? Christ is going to come and take it all away. Yes, we're wise. We don't need God. Oh, we're good in our own eyes. Verse 22, woe to them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, taking drugs, drunkenness. Now notice, our legal system, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Doesn't that describe it? Now, they may not be bribed with money, but they're certainly bribed with ideologies, aren't they? Look at what happened here recently in the city of Tacoma. A man that Governor Huckabee pardoned in Arkansas was released. Years later, over in Tacoma, Washington, he came into a restaurant where there were four policemen before they started on their regular shift. And they all had their computers out and bringing everything up to date. And he walked in and killed all four. Because judges and governors and do-gooders, oh, we must understand this poor little man. God says if they do the things that he did, execute them. Because the nation has been given the death penalty execution from God. God will take care of him later on. And that's just one case of how many. And here in America, we have 17,000 murders every single year. And we say we're righteous. And we say we are good. Let's read on. Verse 24. So here's what's happening right now, and it's going to come. Have you ever wondered why all these things are snowballing all at the same time? Economic problems, crime problems, business problems, personal problems, family problems. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame burns up the chaff, their roots shall be like rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up like the dust. Because, here is why, here is our sin. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. And he was the one who became Jesus Christ. And they profess to be Christians. And look at the world that we have there. Verse 25. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is kindled against his people. He has stretched out his hand against them. He has stricken them. The hills tremble, and their dead bodies are as filth in the midst of the street. In all of this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Isn't that's something. Let's understand a very important principle. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And he doesn't give that gift just because people become emotional and think good thoughts. There's another way to receive it. But look at this nation. Look at what is happening. Look at how the things are turning out. Seems as though everything that is tried turns to rottenness, just like it says here. That everything that we think we can lean on and understand becomes false, becomes lies, and corruption so bad. And we wonder what's happening. How is this happening to the nation, to us, to my church, to my family? Because of sin. because the religious leaders of this nation have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts. And because the politicians have enacted secular, atheistic laws where what God says is sin is now part of obedience to the law of the land. Truly, everything is upside down. And it's because of sin. And the only way you can come out from it is you personally, starting at home, with church at home, with your Bible, and with prayer, and with understanding, and asking God to lead you, asking God to help you, asking God to watch over you, and that you personally come out from your own sins. Jesus told those that he healed, go and sin no more. But you need the help of God to do that. You need the truth of God to do that. You need a change of heart and mind and repentance and conversion to do that. If you're willing, God is. God has always been willing. But are you willing? What are you willing to do? That is the question. Now, if you'd like more in-depth studies, we have a complete in-depth studies on cbcg.org. All the book of Romans, all the book of Galatians, all the book of Hebrews. And as a matter of fact, we even have one going through all of the Gospel of John. We have 79 studies of the general epistles of James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude. We also have a detailed study of prophecy in Daniel and Revelation. There's a lot for you to learn, but you have to understand the basic principal things first. You don't start out with the meat of the word. You start out with the milk of the word, and what I've been giving you is milk. And if you can't take that, then you're in deep trouble. So this is Fred Kolder saying, thank you for inviting me into your home, and may God bless you in everything that you do, and guide you and lead you into the truth so that you can live the way of God.